And this song we're going to hear is part of a prophetic message. The song was written initially as a prophecy, not as a song. It was a prophecy put to music. And that kind of changes the atmosphere and attitude of a song that we consider just a praise song or a worship song. And it is certainly a praise and worship. But it is first and foremost, it was a prophecy given to someone who they put to music. The Psalms are part of the Psalms are prophetic. There's Psalm 22 is prophetic of the agonizing death of Jesus on the cross. And words are found in Psalm 22 that David wrote that Jesus spoke from the cross and events that occurred. So there's prophecy along with the praise, and there's prophetic words along with the worship. So it's good to understand that God is speaking prophetically to his people in these last days. And let me tell you something that you probably already know, but I want to reiterate it. The Bible said no prophecy of the scripture. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That's where your cults come from. That's why there's 80 denominations among the Protestant umbrella, under the umbrella of Protestant, amen, the Christianity. There's about 80 denominations and divisions, and there's some walls should be made thicker. We dare not compromise the faith in the name of unity. Jesus didn't do that. All the martyrs that bled and died for this faith couldn't and would not do that. And we dare not do that. But there are things that we don't need to be divided over. Amen? And we shouldn't be. We should be unified. Even the old West, they used to circle the wagons. Amen. They said all of us, our survival depends on staying together, standing together, and fighting together. And I believe that's true of the Christian church too. Amen. God has designed us to be dependent on him and interdependent on one another. I need you and you need me. The hand dare not and does not say to the foot, I have no need of thee. I need you. Because I need your smile, your encouragement. I need to see you going on because so many are turning back. When I see somebody digging in and going on, amen, I get excited. My dog sees a cat, hair turns up on the back of his neck, hair comes up way back there on his bottom too. He's got hair in two places that go up. First cat he ever met, he didn't know, he 6 weeks old when we got him, I think, and he saw a cat run under, his old mama cat had kittens under a utility shed. So he decided, I saw a mama cat going, he decided to investigate. He just went and stuck his old snout under there to have a look. Mama cat, she smacked him, he got a bloody nose. He come back, and he was snorting and crying at the same time. And right now, he has this thing about cats. He has his real thang about cats. When he sees a cat, he just loses it. He gets, to be honest, he gets homicidal. He really does. He gets really, it weirds him out. He told me the other day in dog talk, he said, I love cats, but I don't think I could eat a whole one. Anyway. But we learn things, we learn lessons, and he learned a lesson about where to stick his nose and where not to stick it. We're living in prophetic times, and no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I read all the time, I see all the time, I've got over 40 years in ministry, and there's always somebody coming along with a private revelation, with a personal interpretation of scriptures. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get exclusive people to follow them. In fact, there was one head of a church, and I had a cousin that got involved in it. And it was a big movement here. It's international. In fact, it's under this Christian thing, this Protestant. But this particular leader of the church got a revelation that third heaven was where people go that have developed spiritually to a higher level. And that third heaven is not, this place where God is and we can't reach. Third heaven was a higher level of heaven. And he was telling me about this revelation. And I'm looking at him like, oh, Lord, help us. Here we go again. Amen. That why is it that no one else but this particular person? Why is it that nobody else in Christendom? Why isn't God telling everybody if it's something he wants us to know? Well, it's not biblical, number one. There's no real Bible to substantiate it. But if you're part of this church and you listen to this teaching exclusively, then when you die, you go to the third level of heaven, and everybody that didn't sit under this person and get this exclusive teaching, they stay down in the first level of heaven. And I told him, I said, then when we both get to heaven, I won't ever see you again. And you know what? He said, that's right. It didn't convict him nor convince him. He's going to be up here in third heaven. And I'm going to be down here, and you'll be with me, I guess, because you're under my teaching, poor folks. Amen. You're going to be down there on the ground floor. He's going to be up there in the penthouse. Yeah. Top of the world, Ma. Top of the world. And you wonder where people get this stuff. All you have, you're right. It's simple. Amen. No scripture. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. No one has a corner on it. Amen. That's why you go to a physician that has the intelligence and the expertise and learning. God calls him, and you got a fisherman, and God calls him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter to God. He said, in fact, there are jobs that they don't want you to come trained very well in the job because they want to train you their way. Can you say that? So God loves to get a hold of people that say, I can't do this without your help. I can't do this. I can't do anything without you. And they just pray like their life depends on it to do anything for God. God really pours it on them and pours it through them. Can you say amen? No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Don't ever walk away from anyone that claims that. Run away from it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God has designed us to unite together, to fight the good fight of faith together, to get in the harvest and work together to bring it in. Because the Bible said, raise your eyes, look upon the fields. They are white unto harvest. Amen. You know what happened in Plant City? What is happening? There are berries that are going to go to waste because they cannot find enough laborers to pick them. They are bright red on the vine, but there's not enough pickers to go out and get them. Amen. They said that if a pickers pick a day in and day out in those fields, they can make, just during the growing season, they can make $30,000 to $40,000. Now that's a lot of picking. Amen. I wouldn't want to do it for whatever, because I get down there, my back give out. You ever pick them U picks or something down in there? Lord have mercy. Amen. We went and got something. They turned us loose in the field. Me and Pamela, we were gung-ho. We're going to pick these bad boys. Amen. Them was lima beans. We're going to pick us. We got a bushel basket. We're going to hit this field. This is you pick. We're going to pick us some lima bean. She's going to put them up. We're going to have lima beans and ham hocks. And Lord sanctified them pigs. We can eat them ham hocks. Can you say amen for us? Amen. We're going to have lima beans with ham hocks. Cornbread. We're out there picking. Boy, we're picking. We're getting. We were young back then. I know you wonder if we were ever young, but we were young back then. Amen. We were young. Go get it. We got out in that field. I looked at her. She looked at me. It was hot. Our back was hurting. That bushel was half full. We said, that ought to do it. We'll buy us some lima beans that somebody already picked. Amen. Praise God. Here's the thing. We're living. And having said all of that, let me say this. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. The Bible said in Matthew, amen, chapter 24, I think 11 and 12, what is the sign of thy coming it begins with? And when shall these things be? Jesus began to answer that direct, distinct question. And he talked about the end times and the last days and how it would be just before the coming of the Lord. Israel is God's timepiece, and I'm going to hurry with this, but take a look at that little piece of land, about the size of New Jersey. It is the centerpiece of all prophecy. Amen. United States is not the big player in prophecy. Israel is the big player in prophecy. When you see the fig tree put forth her leaves, speaking of Israel as a nation, amen, you begin to discern through looking at that nation and how it's developing and the things that are happening and getting ready to happen around that nation, then you can determine that we are in the last of the last days. Amen. So no prophecies of a private interpretation. So the Bible said that what shall be the sign? Matthew 24:11, many false prophets shall go forth into the land, and they shall deceive many. This is not going to be a little thing that's going on. This is going to be a big thing that's happening in the church and to Christians. Many false prophets will go out into the land, and they shall deceive many. I scratch my head sometimes at how many easily people are deceived. There's a lady on television. She sent my dad. He called in because she had this free thing. And the free thing is to hook you so that they can nail you with the cost, because money is the bottom line of it all. So here's the free thing. He got the free thing. And then he got with it was a piece of a prophecy. And it gets you interested because this person has a personal prophecy just for you. And it said for $17. You could have another part. God has this wonderful thing to say, but I see 17. If you'll send 17, well, Dad, she's a pretty lady, so don't even go there. Yeah. It's just it was the anointed stone of David that hooked him. And the 17 was the first thing. I know. The 17 was the first thing. But then he sent the 17 and he got another part. And said, and it leaves you hanging like a cliffhanger. You know, come on, folks. It's time to wise up, O men of God. Be done with earthly things. And so then his next letter said, it's something wonderful. I wish I could give it to you, but I see the number 70. Now my dad has sent 17. He's got this little thing you put in the bottom of a fishbowl. Can you say amen? Where'd that come from? What do you mean? Number one, there was only five of them. And everybody gets what David threw at the giant. Isn't that an incredible thing? I mean, it gets ludicrous after a while. Where do you get 1,500 of these suckers? Can you say amen? Anyway, it all gets wild. And now it's $70. When you see the dollar, everybody say ka-ching, ka-ching. When you start hearing that, it's time to back off, because this can't be bought with silver or gold. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. And back in their day, they said you can't get something for nothing. Can you say amen? This is going to cost you. Everything costs you. Amen. But what God gave through Christ doesn't cost you, because it's not for sale at any price. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we start trying to package and sell God's favor on just a monetary basis rather than receiving Jesus, I'm going to tell you, when I became a Christian, I got his favor. When I began to follow him as his disciple, I got his blessing. Can you say amen? I don't have to pay for it. I give because I love the Lord, and I give because there's a blessing on giving. But I want you to know something right now. The gifts and favor of God are not for sale at any price. Freely you have received, freely give. If you come to our website, I told a preacher the other day, I said, if you were a millionaire, you could not buy anything on our website. We're trying to make up for the crazy people that are bringing a reproach on the gospel. Can you say amen? We want people to know we do have an ulterior motive, and it's that they come to know Christ as their Savior. We have a disclaimer sometimes on radio. If you listen to the end of this broadcast, we can't guarantee that you won't become a Christian. I'm going to tell you up front what my motive is. I want you for God. I want to see you in heaven. And God wants you for his child. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was coming down the steps. I'll never forget it. Time clock, and I'm not bragging on me either, but I want you to know your life does count and it does speak. And I heard a man inviting another man to church, and that man says, "Why go to church?" Said, "I see them on television. All they want is your money. It's all about money. It's all about money. You can't defend that. There's so many that have got it wrong. It's hard to defend it anymore." But I was coming down the steps, and I saw a guy in Publix the other day, and he said, "Rev." He couldn't even, he said, "What is your name?" I said, "Rev." He said, "No, I mean the name, your real name." I said, "Robert." He said, "I never knew your real name." Because all our uniforms had our names on them. Our jackets had their names on them at work when I worked there for 12 years. And they said, "We don't want your nickname, we want your first name." But when they had mine sewn on, Rev. Everybody else had their first name but mine. It was Rev. So he never knew me as anybody but Rev. So I was coming down the steps to the time clock, and I heard the conversation on the way down. I'm not going. That was his excuse. All they want is your money. And that guy was kind of befuddled because he couldn't defend what the guy's seen out of so many on television. Amen. And he looked up and he said, "What about him?" And he looked up and he said, "Well, he's different." And I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we are different in that respect. You know what? We want people to know there is a real God that really loves them, that gave his son to save them. Praise God. And they are not dollar signs to him. They are eternal souls that was worth Jesus going to the cross and dying for. Can you say amen? And no matter how hard pressed we might be financially, you come to this church, I'll guarantee you something. You will hear more about Jesus than an offering, more about Jesus than a building fund, more about Jesus than anything else. In fact, if it gets real bad, I'm not even going to talk to anybody about it but the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because I believe he listens. I believe he hears. I believe that he makes a way where there seems to be no way. I believe that he will send what we need to keep it going as long as he wants to keep it going. Hallelujah. And right now, he wants to keep it going. So we're not going to give our second best down here. We're not going to preach to a little group of people. We're going to preach as if this place was full and running over, because all we need is God with us to do what he purposes for us to accomplish. Can you say amen? But we're not going to lower the standard to get a head count. Amen. But God has been good, and he's keeping us. My wife was prayed for the cartilage of her knee. By now, she's not supposed to be able to hardly walk, but she's walking. We were out shopping. Oh, my wife do love to shop. I heard a story one time of they only had one car, and they both worked, and the wife had a day off, and he just knew she'd pick him up on time. She had her day off, and he was still at work, but she took him to work, said, "I want the car today." She said, "Okay, take me to work." He took him to work because she would drop him off, go to her job, then she would come back and get him after she got off. They synchronized it like that. So 5 o'clock come, she's not there. 5:15, she's not there. 5:30, no wife, no ride. 6 o'clock, he's standing out the guard shack now. Everybody else is going home, and the guard's looking at him. Said, "What are you waiting for?" Said, "My wife." Said, "She's supposed to give me at 5 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock now. It's after 6 o'clock. Finally, he said, "You know, my wife is always on time. She never forgets to pick me up. One of three things has happened. Either my wife has been kidnapped, carjacked, or my wife has been in a terrible traffic accident and can't be here. Or else my wife is shopping. Lord, I hope she's not shopping." Folks, it's so good to know the one who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." My wife and I could tell you stories that are true about all of the things that tried to pull us into tangents, tried to confuse us, trying to get us following false leaders. And we were young and green as the grass. And we didn't know anything, but we knew the Lord. Amen. I called and asked my pastor questions that he could not and it would not answer to me. And I got my Bible out and I was still calling Malachi Malachi. Amen. And I thought the epistles were the wives of the apostles. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew there was a God in heaven that had given me his son and given me his spirit. Amen. And I began to pray. I called my pastor and he just was vague about something that I felt checked about. I didn't know if it was really God. I didn't know about checks in my spirit, but I knew the Bible is the final authority. And I got the Bible down, began to read, talking about lining up with the Word. Amen. I found something in the Word that didn't line up, but it felt so good. It looked so good. My pastor was following it till it blew up. The spiritual leaders of our church was following it till it blew up. Literally, it shipwrecked a lot of lives, and it turned out to be a false teacher. And false doctrine and verging on blasphemy. But we felt it. God began to lead us by the Word of God. That Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. Amen. And you check by the Word of God. Yes, exactly. We were baby Christians, and he spoke to us simply. But he spoke very clearly. Praise God. We knew it was God. Amen. And then we suddenly realized, not that we're smarter than any of these other people, we suddenly realized we were actually being led by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God together. Not just, I've had people say, God told me, God showed me, and contradicted the very Bible. If they had a Bible foundation, if they had a Word foundation, they would have checked themselves. Amen. But they didn't have it. And they went with just their feelings. I check my feelings by the Word of God. Does this line up with what your Word teaches? And if it don't line up, then forget about it. We're even supposed to judge angels. Judge angels. If an angel come. I'm not talking about a put on. I'm talking about an angel. And by the way, if one of those fallen angels shows up, he's not going to look like a fallen angel. So Paul said, if an angel of light shows up, the whole erroneous religion of Mormonism was started by a man who had a visitation from an angel of light. And he wrote another book to the New Testament. Even if an angel bring another gospel. And then he went on to say, and even if we write you another letter, backing up on what we've already sent you, not only don't listen to the angel, don't even listen to us no more. Amen? He said, I want you to know the truth. And if somebody turns from it, Peter got out of the truth. And Paul withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. And not only do I honor Paul for following the truth and being the junior, the last one in that had persecuted the church, and yet he knew wrong is wrong and right is right and truth is truth. But Peter had enough humility and love for the truth that he repented and embraced the truth. Even though when Peter walked by, the anointing was so strong on him that the sick were healed. When they got in proximity to him without laying hands upon him, his shadow passing over them. A woman had to touch the hem of Jesus' garment to be healed. Peter walked by, if his shadow passed over you, jumped up and said, Hallelujah. And you know something? When you got that kind of anointing, a lot of times people don't question your doctrine. But the Bible teaches that doctrine, even though you got that kind of anointing, the truth, you're still supposed to be seekers of truth. No prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. Can you say amen? Oh, God is not trying, doesn't want you following a man or a woman. He wants you following Christ. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. That's why I point people to Jesus. We wouldn't be here. We would have went under. We would have succumbed to some of these things. But the Lord brought us through all of that error and all of that junk and all of that mess. He took us through the wildfire and the false prophets and the false prophecies. We finally got our my father-in-law, her daddy, come to visit us, and we had two sisters from a church come visit us that we knew from years back, and we were trying to share Christ with him in a way that he would receive it, and you know, with wisdom, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And we were trying to use that wisdom to reach him and talk to him, let him see what Christianity is, the best life in the world, what it's done for our marriage, our life. And now he's going to church now, praise God. But back then, they came in and they had a prophecy. We've got a prophecy for you. And I thought, well, let's get them out of here before we hear it. Because, I mean, I believe in prophecy, but wait till you hear it. We didn't want him to, you know, think we're all crazy if it's not of God. And until we hear it, we don't know. You got to try the spirits and see that they be of God. And prove all things, and only hold fast that's good. So we went in the back room, and they said, you better can up some food. And they were following this false prophet guy, and he said the economy was going to collapse. And so the only people were going to survive, the people went to some place, some big campground they had got out in, where was it, Mississippi or Louisiana. I don't know why they sent you to Mississippi to survive, but maybe if you got a mule and a plow, you might make it down in Mississippi. But anyway, you're supposed to go down there, and they went to W.T. Grant. By the way, no wonder Grants went out of business. They had an account with W.T. Grant's stores, and they went and bought a whole bunch of camping equipment and stuff to live off the land with, and they canned up tomatoes because they thought there ain't going to be no food to eat, and we're going to live on tomatoes. They said, we better get it. The Lord said, they left their job. They bought a bunch of stuff they couldn't pay for on credit. They moved out there with him. The whole thing went crazy. Oh, as a sign, tell me the sign. I forgot. They told us God. Yeah. They told her and said, as a sign, your wife shall be with child. Your wife is with child. And she said, It didn't come to pass neither. No, none of it come to pass. All of it was messed up. I could tell you some things that would curl your toenails. I've seen it. No prophecy. No, none, zero. There was a billboard that I had to look at every time on the way home back from church to Plant City telling the exact date that Jesus would come, because this guy on radio, he's 80-something years old, he had pinpointed the day that Jesus would come. These people sold out everything they have. They quit their jobs. They got these caravan trailers and followed each other around to some place to sit and wait on him to come. And it set up, they rented billboards. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the day came, and it didn't happen. And the billboard is up telling people, repent, the end is near. But you know what? All of this falsehood, and this guy, nobody questioned him. I got a book at home. I can't find it, but I got it. I should bring it and pass it around. 88 reasons. Prophecy, lining up, numbers, and all of this. 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 1988. Honey, I've been around the block. One TV station believed that to such a degree, they made a loop altar call telling people, Christ has come and you need to get right with him. There's still an opportunity for you to come. And they made a loop because they believed that they would be taken out of the studio and the loop would have to continue to play to lead people to Jesus while they're gone. It got crazy. We could go on and on, but time is fleeting. But let me tell you this, no prophecy of the scripture. No! Zero is of any private interpretation. And somebody that says that is trying to get an exclusive and saying, you follow me, I got the revelation. Everybody else is out of that loop. It's just me and God. And if you want to get real truth and grow and be what you can be, you follow me and me alone. And that is the first first foundational sign that a cult is forming. One strong, influential leader that is unquestionable. Honey, I question everybody, including myself. I question my leadings. Don't fall into the trap of every impulse you get saying, God showed me and God told me. Be careful. Be forewarned. Because if you're that good at it, you wouldn't mess up as much as you do. Can I be honest with you? You wouldn't be in the pickle you're in. And if you think you're that good at it, you are in a pickle. You've been making wrong decisions. And you painted yourself. I did it at church. You can do some goofy stuff. I was in there singing the praises of God and painting that old floor in the basement. Battleship Gray. I thought it would take care of the mildew and stuff that be having a basement. I painted that thing and I got to painting and praising. Amen. I had me a big 5-gallon can. I didn't have to go. Amen. I tell you, I wasn't drinking no cold drink neither. I didn't even have to stop for a bathroom break. I'm going to paint that thing before I eat, go to the bathroom, anything else. And I had it almost painted. Battleship Gray. Boy, that old enamel, too. That stuff, man, you get it on your clothes, forget about it. I'm painting that thing, and I'm painting. I got all the way in the back corner of the basement. And I thought, boy, I'm almost done here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We done painted this thing while I was praising you and singing the high hallelujahs. Amen. Woo! It ain't nothing there but a little old place about a little half moon area. I was standing in with my 5-gallon drum and my paint roller and brush. I cut it in first and I painted that big. Boy, you're looking good. Now, I'm about overcome by the fumes, too. You know, it's all enameled. Oh, man. Eyes are burning. Bladder is full. I gotta go now. Ain't no if, and, but, or maybe. I looked down and I thought, how am I going to get from here to there? And I thought, I can't wait for it to dry either. I can't even wait for it to semi-dry. I'm going to walk like this right now trying to get out of here. I took my shoes and socks off because I knew that's enamel, man. And here I go, and I get this roller. I got the 5-gallon can almost empty, and I'm pulling this roller behind me. I'm picking up paint all the way. Pulling this roller behind me till I get the steps, and I roll it out. And then I had to go to the water outside and hit them feet, boy. That enamel, this wasn't that latex stuff. This is that old oil-based enamel. It don't want to come off. It was between my toes, under my toenails. Painted myself into a corner. You start just saying, God told me, God showed me, and it don't start working out. You paint yourself into a corner. And if it don't come to pass, you lose your credibility. And if God ever does really speak to you, nobody's going to listen to you, no how. Amen. Somebody told me one time when somebody was hit and missing, said, well, they just got in the flesh. I said, don't matter what they got in. When you say, thus saith the Lord, amen. If it's hit and miss like that, then how do we know when you're in the flesh? And how do we know when you're just walking in the spirit? Amen. We don't know because you don't know all of that. Amen. Listen to me. Be careful. Be careful. You'll notice I do use that term, but I don't use it loosely. Can you say, man, I do not use it loosely. If you want to hear that from somebody, go somewhere else because I don't agree with that. The Bible doesn't agree with that. There is too much thus saith that isn't God, and it doesn't come to pass. And it's a good thing we don't live in the old covenant because they'd stone you when it didn't come to pass. And if you were in threat of being stoned for it not happening, I believe we would be a little more cautious before we said it. Lost the fear of the Lord. We want people to look at us when we're supposed to be pointing them to Him. Lady in our church, I've got to tell you this. We went to church with her for years. She said that God told her to leave her husband. Right there, she violated the Word of God unless she had a biblical basis. There was no biblical basis. It was for the purpose of ministry. And marry this evangelist. And they were to go together and minister. It's a lie. Satan lied to her. The Word forbids it. She left him. She married the evangelist. And they took off ministering. And when Pentecostals walked down the aisle, see, they didn't question what she had done because she said, God told me. They lay hands on you, him or her, down you go. Well, if you fall out in the spirit, they must be following truth. Paul said, I don't care if an angel comes. I don't care if Peter, who people are healed when he walks by them, gets off base. You don't follow him. Aren't you glad Paul withstood him to the face? What was his problem? He became exclusive, preaching to the Jews. He bought into the fact they'll accept Christianity as long as we be circumcised according to the law. They want to mingle law with it. Amen. And he felt so honored. I love the way Paul put it. He said, some great men of the Jews came down and talked to Peter. Whether they were great or not, it's nothing to me. I'll tell you, when you meet Jesus, you're not impressed with too many people's credentials anymore. I mean, you honor good preachers and people for preaching the truth, but you're not wowed by anybody but Jesus. Can you say amen? You don't say, I'm of Paul. You don't say, I'm of Apollos. If you do, amen, the Bible said you're walking like men. You're walking after the flesh. Amen. One plants, another waters, but only God gives the increase. Can you say amen? Give the honor to God. Give the glory to God. Follow Jesus, and you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. So she married this guy. They prophesied over people, spoke in tongues. But they were wrong. It was wrong. Down the road, it blew up. They were going all over Florida. They were now evangelizing into Georgia. But it was wrong. You say, Brother Ben, people fell out. They spoke in tongues. That is not truth. Tongues don't say it's you're right or you're true. I told you about the evangelist lady had a parrot. They had prayer meeting at 2:00 every afternoon at her home, 5 days a week. This lady spoke in tongues and glorified God and prayed in tongues. And the parrot's sitting watching all of this. Amen. He's just watching and listening. Listening and watching. One day they have their prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is over. They're getting ready to leave. And they hear tongues. They think, oh, Lord. Angels in the room. What is it? Old bird sitting over there. And he lets it fly again. And it's not gibberish either. It's her dialect in tongues. A bird can talk in tongues. I remember when we thought we were giving people the Holy Ghost. We told them to say a syllable over and over again until they got it. We didn't do that. But I remember when Pentecostalism said, come tie my bow tie, come tie my bow tie, come tie my bow tie, come tie my bow tie. You got it! Because you spoke a few unintelligible words? No, you speak in tongues as who gives the utterance? As the Spirit gives the utterance. You have to yield to the Spirit, but it needs to be the Spirit. Can you say amen? Because if it ain't the Spirit, it's sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. It's noise without substance. And there is substance to this person. Not just this power, but this person. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you get power, but you receive a person. Hallelujah. That disseminates that power into your life. And it's a him, not an it. So, they have a big fight. She realizes she's done wrong. She sees through the lie that was told her. All she had to do was do the simple thing and line up with the Word to see it was error. And she says, I'm leaving you. This is wrong. And she goes to her son's mobile home. And he comes after her in his van. With the big Jesus stuff on the side. He bursts through the door. He has a pistol. He aims at her. Her son tries to defend her. He shoots through her son's hand. And he finishes shooting her to death. Highway 301. This is close to home. We don't have to go some other state. Highway 301. He flees and heads north. The highway patrol and the sheriff's department, they corner him in his van on Highway 301 and pull him over. He puts the gun to his head and pulls the trigger. She's dead. He's dead. And all she had to do was check herself by the word of God. Amen? So be careful. Be cautioned. Because in Pentecostal circles, it's thrown around loosely and irresponsibly. God showed me. God told me. God showed me. God told me. That's serious business. If God shows me something about you, I want to come tell you. But I'm not going to say one word unless I know that I know that I know God is speaking. Amen. Be careful. Because that's where that went. And the devil laughed his head off. Because not only did he destroy these two lives, he hurt the Pentecostal movement where the spiritual gifts are in operation, because people said, look what that produced. Look at the fruit of that life and see what that produced. The chaos, the confusion. God is never the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. Can you say, man, let everything be done decently and in order. Oh, the Holy Ghost does some strange things, but it's always decent. And it's always in order. Amen. There's an order to this. And there are people who are set in leadership positions, amen, to determine that. Let one prophesy. Let three judge. There has to be three qualified people before a prophecy is to be received by the body. One prophesy. Let three people judge whether it's from God, of God, lining up with the word of God. Otherwise, God's people go into chaos and confusion and be led about by false prophets. Guy come to my house when I lived behind the church, and he came in and he said, I'm an apostle. Okay, that's fine. I'm not saying you're not. But I'm waiting to hear what else he has to say. Because I remember the scripture when he said it. Amen. Church of Ephesus, thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. How can you find out? When they open their mouth. He had a private interpretation. He said Jesus, Joseph was married to Mary. They had a sexual relationship, and Jesus was a product of their union. And God had showed him that actually happened instead of the virgin birth. And he said, and God has sent me to bring this revelation to the church across America. And I'm standing there thinking, Lord, help me. This is exactly what the Bible was warning about. And I'm trying him right now by what he's saying. I haven't said a word yet. I said, well, here's the deal. Here's the deal, sir. Isaiah, in prophecy of the Messiah, said, and this shall be a sign unto you. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. A virgin shall conceive. I said, now we got Isaiah. We got the testimony of the New Testament. And we got you. I mean, to me, we don't argue anymore. You get out of my house. And I don't say, and God bless you. No, no, you don't bid that Godspeed. You partake of the sin. Amen. No, you don't. No, that's not brotherly love. You don't sow a lie. You don't do it. So as he left, you know what he did to convince me that I was wrong and he was right and the word was wrong and he's right? No. He spoke in other tongues on the way out. Yeah. He spoke with other tongues on the way out. And I thought, I ain't turning you loose on my sheep. Not mine, mine. You understand the people God's allowed me to minister to. No, you don't get behind. Oh, Brother Venables, I know this guy. Oh, if you could just have him at your church. No, you, I'm going to run it by God. Amen. You may be absolutely convinced. God's going to have to talk to me about that. Can you say amen? Brother Venables, you hogging the pulpit? No, I'm not hogging anything. I'm being what God called me to be. A pastor over his people. Can you? A shepherd, praise God. I'm not going to turn just anything loose on you. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Why did God do that? Because He didn't want anybody misled by somebody wanting to get a following after themselves. And that's exactly what they're after. I got the revelation, you follow me. And there are people just waiting. To get enough people listening to them to buy into it, that they will follow them. Sometimes it's been a discouraging thing for me. I said, Lord, I've stood for your truth for over 40 years, and I can't hardly get people out to hear it. And yet some shyster come to town fleecing them, and they run like crazy. And it is. It's tough sometimes. Amen. I thank you for saying the truth is taking hold and making a difference in somebody's life. Because there's a whole lot of people, instead of running to it, they're running from it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm still committed. I can't change. I'm not going to change to try to accommodate those people. I will not say, thus saith, if he hadn't said it to you. Can you say, man, if I come and say, thus saith the Lord, it will be the Lord, or else, but even then, I want you to check it out by the Word of God. And even then, I want to go home and pray, did I tell him correctly? I wanted this for him so bad. I don't want my want for Nick to take the place of your word to Nick. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen very carefully. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Prove all things and hold fast that is good. Even if an angel come with another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be under the strongest curse that God can ever grant and the strongest judgment that God can ever give. And if a false prophet comes along and you bid him Godspeed, you partake of his sin. So some walls need to come down and other walls need to be strengthened against error. For many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, because they're not preachers of righteousness. All they want is your money. They don't care about your soul. Amen. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Can you say amen? They're not out to make disciples unto Jesus, so they don't preach something that will cause you to devote to Him. They're out to get followers after their self. And the Bible said they lay awake at night in 1 Peter. They lay awake at night to think up schemes to make merchandise out of you. They come up with a scheme to stimulate you to turn it loose, because that's all they're after. But when Jesus came, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He places a value on you, and it has nothing to do with the monetary values of this fallen world. Can you say amen? They that would be rich, that's your goal. It didn't say that God will never make you rich. But if that's your goal, is just to get rich following Christ, fall into many deceitful snares and hurtful sins and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So we're not in it for that. We're in it for His kingdom. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today? When a prophetic song comes, I'm glad to hear a word from the Lord that is leading us to righteousness and getting us ready for His soon coming. I believe there's a people within a people that God is raising up, that He's calling out. Come out from among them. I used to think that was exclusive to the world, but the church has become so worldly. I believe it's addressing big parts of the church world as well, Brother Taylor. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. For what fellowship with Christ with Belial, literally with the devil, and what fellowship hath light with darkness? come out from among them, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. Can't you just see him reaching down and gathering us to himself? And he said, and I will be a father to you. You know what that means? He says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If the devil's going to hurt you, he's going to have to come through me to do it. When you have a need, I'm going to meet it. And you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so good, amen, to be his children today and him to father us, amen, to know when I got up this morning, I didn't have no doubt God is going to provide for me. He's going to care for me. Praise God. Amen. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is for us. Who can be against us? So the prophecy was, see, Elijah himself isn't coming before Christ comes. But I believe that anointing, that spirit, before his first coming, John the Baptist came with a singular message. Make the crooked path straight. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a prophetic message. It was a message of repentance. And those that truly love God went down to the river. Went down in the water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's always had a people. Hey, and it wasn't the religious crowd that showed up except to criticize and point fingers at them. But the real genuine people who wanted God in their life and to be right with God, they showed up. Praise God. And John baptized them unto repentance. I believe these are the days of Elijah. I believe these are days of a prophetic word and ministry. But it's calling God's people to himself. Not the prophet. Not the preacher. Not the evangelist. Not the apostle. But to Christ. Can you say amen? And I believe God's going to father the people that come out from among them. And begin to follow Jesus in a true devotion. I believe God is going to fight for us. I believe God is going to provide for us. I believe God will give us a job when we need it. God will heal us when we need it. God will help us when we need it. Hallelujah. God will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. As it is written, I shall be their God and they shall be my people. Can you say amen? And I will not be ashamed to be called to call them my people, and they will not be ashamed to call me their God. Having these promises, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Holiness is not self-righteousness, it's recognizing we are different. We follow a different master. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is so good today. These are the days of Elijah, prophetic ministry. These are the days of David when praise and worship is being restored. We're not just going through the ritual. The choir isn't just well-dressed and well-tuned up. The choir is worshiping God. Hallelujah. Praise God. These are the days that will be marked by his spirit or by the absence of his spirit. Can you say amen? But there's no steeple big enough, no stained glass beautiful enough, no preacher well-schooled enough to take the place of the Holy Ghost moving among God's people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. These are prophetic days. Amen. The true church is being called out and cleaned up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. He sanctified, he loved the church and gave himself for it that he might leave it all messed up and polluted with sin and drowned by Satan. No, he loved it enough to purify it. Loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify it. Amen. By the washing of water, by the word, that he might present it unto himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or blemish or any such thing. Praise God. Let's give him praise before we go home. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. This is from Paris and South Africa. There's no service this evening. A lot of people are out, and there's just a handful of us left, and everyone has something to do to minister to some of the people that are out. In French Equatorial Africa and in Paris, France, these are the days of Elijah. People are recognizing something's different about these days. They'll sing it in French at the end, but we know the words. You'll hear Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. All over the world, God is gathering the people to Himself. Bring that up just a little. The Lord is here. Trumpet call.
And the trumpet call. Lift your voice. It's a hymn of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Behold, He comes.
Yeah.
Riding on the cloud.
Shining.
Shining like the sun.
And the trumpet call.
And the trumpet call.
Come on, lift your voice.
Lift your voice.
It's a hymn.
Around the world.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of the trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing the way of the Lord. Come on.
Behold, He comes.
Yeah.
Shining on the cloud.
Shining.
Shining like the sun.
Of the trumpet.
The call.
The trumpet
call.
Come on, lift your voice.
Lift your voice.
It's the end of a jubilee.
Oh, out of Zion's hill, salvation.
Behold.
Personne.
Il lui ressemble. Il est le Dieu de gloire. Élevé dans les cieux. Personne n'est comme lui.
Out of every kindred,
personne n'est comme lui.
Tongue and nation.
Personne n'est comme
lui. Who are these? Who are these? Hallelujah. These are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Brillant comme le soleil,
elle est la femme.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's coming soon. Glory to God. Will you join hands with one another? The false prophets, the love of many waxing cold, the apostasy, the falling away. It is all significant signs that the coming of the Lord is very, very soon. It is a negative thing, but there's a positive event just over the horizon. And God is calling a people from a people and gathering them to Himself, closing His wings around them, sealing us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. That seal is the Holy Spirit that He grants to us. Amen. Not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. That is a power gift. This is a personal, possessive mark that you belong to God. The day you get saved, you receive it. Can you say amen? And He sealed you, and which means to brand or to mark until the day of redemption. And all this shaking going on, amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, because the Lord knows them that are truly His. Can you say amen? And God's going to keep His. Hallelujah. He's going to keep what we've committed unto Him against that day. And He's going to come for us. Praise God. Whether we're alive or not, in the physical sense, He's coming for us. And we're going home with Him forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, bless this congregation. We go forth out of here armed with truth. Your word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our pathway. Hallelujah. And we're being cleansed by it, and we're being directed by it, and empowered by it, and strengthened by it. Our faith is growing in You, and Your grace is flowing to us.